Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Steve Phillips, our buddy, will join us here in just a moment. The Jays back in action tonight down in Dunedin. They have dropped three in a row and losing in extras last night. Mike Trout put on a clinic, and David Phelps will take the mound to start the game tonight. And what it means for the rest of the weekend, we'll find out. Shohei Ohtani will not take the mound due to blisters, so he won't pitch, but he's going to continue to hit against the Jays, and it's going to be a fun weekend. And the Jays are dealing with their first test, right? You lose three in a row, and the Angels are off to a good start. No reason to believe they'll slow down over the next 3 days. And Springer's not coming back anytime soon. No real word on Robbie Ray and when he'll be available. Pearson, Hatch, you know, you got to get through it. You got to battle through. Yep. And if you're going to be a team chasing 90 wins in the playoffs, it's not as if you're in panic mode. Of course not. You're 3-4, but
not panic mode, Hayes. But it'd be interesting to ask Phillips, where is your headspace at when you desperately have a glaring need, and you know you're probably going to have to address it anyway. Like, when is it kind of, I'm not pissing away this year, we have to address this. So pressure points are a big part of being a manager, when you got to pull the trigger on something. Interesting to see what he says about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We will get to Steve Phillips in a few moments. We have a trade to announce. How about this? Yeah. Before 7 o'clock, and it is a Maple Leaf trade. The Maple Leafs have acquired forward Riley Nash for Columbus in exchange for a conditional 7th round pick in 2022. So a conditional 7th rounder.
Free.
Basically, yeah, you got him for free. This is a guy, he's had his issues, his struggles the past couple of years. A couple of years ago, though, when he was in Boston for that run, he really was a pretty prominent piece. But this is more of a depth guy, clearly. This is just depth. They didn't pay anything for him. Who knows if he'll even be in the lineup.
Face-offs, penalty kill, all of it.
Yep, exactly. Gives you a little bit of depth, a veteran presence. Didn't pay much for it. I'd be lying if I said I know exactly how Nash has been playing recently. I mean, it's not exactly a guy on your radar out of Columbus, but
I've watched Columbus play a lot recently, just trying to figure out what the hell's going on with them. But you know, I think he's played close to all the games. I'm just looking up. He's played 37 games. 2 goals, 5 assists. Like, he's not a guy that, you
never
know,
has
to me,
been.
He's a fourth line guy.
Yep.
So here's what I would say. I think they look at a guy like Pierre Engvall and go, here's an upgrade in that situation if Engvall has to play in your fourth line center position. And maybe Spezza are you comfortable with Spezza on the wing? You know, like, it's just another veteran guy.
Yeah, this is exactly what I've been saying for the better part of a week. I got into it with Craig a few days ago, and I basically said, middle of the ice. Like, we keep focusing on the wing, and I'm not saying you don't want to address the wing, and I'm not saying they won't be looking to do that. But at some point, you know, I think it's more important to make sure you've got depth up the middle of the ice, on defense, and in goal. Again, I'm past trying to find a third goaltender. I don't know if it's necessary. I think if you get to that point and that guy's playing anywhere, you're toast. So find some depth up the middle of the ice. They've done that here with Riley Nash. Again, I don't know if he even fits into the lineup. If he plays, is this the precursor of another deal that's coming? You know, is there going to be other deals that move around? We keep bringing up a guy like Kerfoot just based on his contract. If you're going to bring in money, you got to send some money out. Kerfoot is a guy at 3.5 that might make that work. That would be a guy up the middle of the ice. You know, you'd have to fill a hole there. So it's a depth piece.
Yeah,
and
I don't think
at this point, I'm fine with that. I think they need a depth defenseman as well, at the very least. If you had a depth forward who could play the middle of the ice and a depth defenseman, okay. You got a good team anyway, right?
Yeah,
like, you're not looking
for
a number one center here or a number one defenseman.
No, I'm not sure that this is a misfire on the grappler's end, but it says here he's on LTIR.
He is, because our buddy Ken Daniels just sent me a note saying I think he's on IR. I thought he broke something. But, you know, that's a cap – not a cap circumvention. It's a cap situation. You get him. Obviously, they deem that he'll be healthy soon. So after the deadline anyways, you can bring him off, or, you know, he might be closer – than not to playing.
Right. And that might explain again why you didn't give up much for him. Basically, it's we'll take on his money that we're going to pay. And maybe he's on that. Maybe he's on long-term IR until the playoffs start, and then and then he doesn't even count against the cap. I mean, that I'm not sure. Again, this is all breaking news, and we're trying to do this live. But
yeah, Grappler just sent it. Like, this was out 4 to 6 weeks with a knee sprain. So just reading it on the fly here, I don't know how that dates back, but that looks like the rest of the regular season.
Which that would that's actually a pretty savvy move. Like, if that's the case, again, I don't know because we're trying to do it live here on radio and TV. But if it is the case that basically he is going to be available to you come the playoffs, the cap is a wash at that point. And what the Leafs may have done here was called up at Columbus and said, you're not going anywhere. Your owner probably doesn't want to pay this guy. We'll pay it. You know, we'll pay him or whatever it's going to be. And and he's not going to play for you again. So we'll give you a conditional seventh. We'll see what the conditions are, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was tied to how many games he plays in the playoffs. You know, it might turn into a fifth-round pick or a sixth. You know, who knows? We'll find out. But that if that's the way it played out here, that's a smart, savvy move where you're going to acquire a guy who's going to stay on long-term IR. It's not going to affect your cap. And then if he's available come game one of the playoffs, even as just a depth guy, the cap is irrelevant at that point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like if that's what's happened here.
I just get the sense that this is a Brandon Pridham thing too. They're they're so smart with the cap, right?
Yep.
Like acquiring guy on LTIR, they may have had to hit a number or something. Like obviously, and
could be
if
that
it's not going to cost you anything. LTIR, once you hit a certain amount, anyways, insurance takes care of like 80% of it. So either way, I'm not going to sit and guess, but it's a guy that can add to their depth in the playoffs if he's available.
If he's available to you.
That's what it is. So,
and if it's 4 to 6 weeks, then he would be. Like, unless it's something more significant than that, and they find something and all of a sudden in a month he's like, I'm not good to go. But if it is a scenario where their timeline is on Riley Nash as a guy who might be able to play come the playoffs, you leave him on long-term IR. It doesn't affect your cap.
Right.
And all you've done is – you worked out a deal for Columbus when he's not going to bring anything to their table because they're done or likely think they're done. Should be.
Yeah, they're close to
it. If he does ultimately get in the lineup and he can resemble anything like what he was in Boston those couple of years, he was a good depth player there.
Yeah, he had a pretty good couple of years in Boston, and then he signed a decent ticket, obviously, 275 or whatever it was.
Yeah, 2.75. He's a nice player. Like, he's a guy that, as you said before, kills penalties and all of that type of stuff. It's just a depth player that has NHL experience, has NHL playoff experience, and what you're guarding against is not being placed in a situation with injuries and inconsistencies that, all of a sudden, Pierre Engvall has to go up and, that type of stuff. That's what you're looking at. You're guarding against the what-ifs, right?
And it probably is a bonus that he is on he's on the LTIR. Like, that's the only way you could even acquire him, because if his cap hit came right now, the Leafs couldn't fit that in for a draft pick. Money would have to go out, or you'd have to move things around. They're so close to the cap. So it's almost as if this is something that had to happen. Like, he had to have this injury for him maybe even to be on the radar of the Maple Leafs. And if that is the case, and we'll see what Ray can tell us about it later on, but Riley Nash comes here, if he's available come mid-May, which is when the playoffs are going to begin, give or take, cap is irrelevant at that point. That seems like a pretty smart and savvy play.
Oh, and no risk.
No risk, exactly. Yeah. A seventh rounder, conditional seventh rounder. Jays back in action tonight. David Phelps on the mound for the Jays. They have lost three in a row. Springer's on the IL. We're not sure when he's coming back. They've hit their first bump in the road. Here's our TSN MLB and Jays analyst, Steve Phillips. Taking 2 or 3 in Yankee Stadium felt pretty good, Steve, and now all of a sudden they've taken a step or two back. What do you make of where the Jays are as of tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, a week doesn't tell you much of anything. I think the offense really is the thing that's not hitting on all cylinders, and that's good news, I think, because at some point they will. They'll get everybody going. I mean, Bichette's not quite going yet. Teoscar Hernandez isn't going yet. Vlad Jr. swinging the bat well so far. Simeon's a good player. He's going to really, I think, be a really solid guy for them. So, I think the offense just isn't where it is. The starting pitching's pitched to a 4.5 ERA to this point. That's kind of what, beyond Ryu, what you're going to expect. And the bullpen's been excellent. The bullpen's second best in the American League right now. And so I think they're going to be okay without Kirby Yates. I think they've got the weapons in the bullpen and the arms to manage that and navigate it. You know, the starting pitching is a bit of a question. They need Pearson back. They need Ray back, and then start to gauge where they are. Mats was really good his first time out. So, you know, I think if the offense gets going, they're going to be okay. Then again, I mean, how much better would George Springer be than what Randall Grichuk has been? Grichuk's played out of his mind.
Been outstanding.
His first week.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. He's always got to start slowly, but he swung the bat, and defensively, he's made some huge plays. So, you know, look, I Springer in the lineup, yeah, is the presence, the production, but I think that, the, you know, the Jays are going to be all right. They're just, it's just the early part of the season.
Steve, there was a situation last night where Danny Jansen's up to bat. He butchered a bunt attempt in the game against the Yankees. I think it was game one. He couldn't do it last night. It was just like one of those things where it's like, you got to get that guy over to third. Like, what is he supposed to do differently than the nonsense I saw last night?
Well, I mean, you know, a couple things. I wondered if once they got the Angels out, whether they would bunt. I think it was Simeon up, too. Look, you know, this is, I mean, sacrifice bunting is not that hard to do. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a matter of sticking your nose in there and being willing to just catch the ball on the end of the bat, keeping the bat head up, not dropping it. You know, you drop the bat head when you're trying to bunt, you pop the ball up, and yet so many guys still do it. They jab at the baseball. And so, you know, it comes down to, if you can't bunt, then you better darn well be able to hit the ground ball to the right side of the infield, and the ground ball to shortstop doesn't do it for you. And so, you know, they failed at that a couple times yesterday, and those little things matter. You know, if they execute that in the 10th inning, then all it takes is a productive out for the second out, and you end up winning the ball game. And so, you know, that's the sort of thing that's going to get Alejandro Kirk in the lineup on a more regular basis, is that, you know, Danny Jansen, he doesn't have to hit home times, but you better do the little things to help the team win if you're not going to hit for a big average or big power. And so, you know, I think at some point Kirk might be the guy. It did seem funny, though, with the Blue Jays starting with Kirk out on second base. You know, they had burned Jonathan Davis. He went into pinch run and got picked off right away, which, you know, that, talk about, that's, I did that in the minor leagues. That's one of life's embarrassing moments. You get out there. You know, you're pinch running, you stretch your legs, you run down the right field line, you got your batting gloves, you know, the fingers dangling out of the back of your pocket. You know, you got the Ricky Henderson where you're wiggling your fingers. The pitcher throws over, picks you off, and you walk back to the dugout. That is as embarrassing a moment as you're going to get in professional baseball.
Yeah, that hurt. And that has been, again, something that has been exposed here, the fundamentals. That was a big part of the conversation with this team last year. And as you said, it's only a week. It's not going to matter at the end of the year, or it doesn't have to. But the change in tone, change in narrative. When you take two of three out of Yankee Stadium, it's all about the positives. It's all about what they're doing right. Then you drop three of four, including two in Texas against a brutal Rangers team, and you start focusing on a weak rotation. Stripling gets rocked last night, Roark the day before. You got Phelps as an opener tonight. I don't know what they're going to do beyond that. Matt's had a great start. Clearly he's going to start on Saturday. But also the fundamentals and the defensive issues, base running issues, laying down a routine bunt. This was a problem with this group a year ago. And until we see it over an extended period of time, it's a question mark at a minimum, Steve. What are they in terms of the fundamentals? And they've got to be a lot better if they want to be a playoff team.
Right. Now, defensively, they've only made two errors so far. They're actually, you know, have been among the better defensive teams so far this year. And, you know, we've seen some nice plays in the outfield by Grichuk. And so I think that Simeon and Bichette are going to be good up the middle. And I like Biggio at third and Guerrero at first. I don't ever play Vlad over at third base again. And so I do think that defensively they're going to be better. You know, and at some point, you know, you're still figuring out who's part of the problem, who's part of the solution. And it's not coaching sometimes. Sometimes it's just that maybe you need to get a better player in there. And that, they're going to have to figure that out as part of where they're going right now. But I do think they've got a lot of good baseball players. I will tell you, the game that disappointed me was the getaway day in Texas, I guess on Wednesday. You know, the offense was lethargic that day. In getaway days, you're leaving a town and, you know, playing the game, those are critical days. And so often teams just don't seem connected on those days. And that's where you need a veteran who's barking at people, getting them riled up a little bit, getting them focused and challenging. And I think for Charlie Montoyo, you know, getaway days, he may need to force the issue with hit and runs and trying to manufacture getting people moving, you know, because a lot of times those are day games too. And so those are something to keep an eye on. The end of a series, when you're traveling, how does your team perform there? Because it could be a critical factor in a season.
Steve, your Mets had a dirty, greasy win yesterday. What did you make of that whole scene? That was something else. That was greasy, man. What did you make of the situation?
I think they got to vacate the win. In fact, you know what's funny is FanDuel, the betting site, they actually refunded people's money that lost in wow. in the money line for the Mets game there. They actually refunded people's money. I'm like, wow. Now, here's the thing. I think that Don Mattingly and the Marlins made a mistake. They should have filed a protest because it was not a judgment call. It was a rules interpretation. Because if you watch the video, the umpire, Ron Culpa, he's going into the position to call it a third strike. He's ready to ring him up. Then he saw the ball hit him. And he goes, oh, hit by pitch, which means that he let the hit by pitch overrule the strike. And that's not the rule. The rule is that the strike, if you get hit by a pitch and the ball's in the strike zone, it's a strike. By the way, Conforto didn't make any effort to get out of the way of the ball. So even that was a reason it shouldn't have been a hit by pitch. And so to me, it wasn't judgment. It was a rule interpretation. I think they lost an opportunity there because I think they would have won that. Listen. My belief is there should be instant replay to check that. Here's the way I look at it. If I were the Mets, an instant replay overturned that, and they had a chance to talk to New York and reminded them of this, the pitch was a strike and everything else, and they had said, you know what, it's strike three, he's out. It would have been the second out of the inning. I would have been absolutely okay because it would have been the right call. Even if it took away the win, it was the right call.
Hayes hates video replays, so he's just happy with the way it ended up, and he doesn't care. He's happy. He does. He hates video replay, and he thinks what happened yesterday is perfectly fine. Brian, what are your thoughts?
Well, listen, when you look at the video, Conforto, to your point, A, he doesn't try to move. B, his elbow's in the strike zone. Yeah, like, of course it was a botched call. But the review, you go and review it anyway, and where you at? You know, like it's I hate the fact that generally speaking, you waste time and you come back and you end up with a confusing conclusion anyway. You know, half the time it becomes it's always subjective. If you're reviewing, it's still going to be a human being making a subjective call, more or less, unless it's completely black or white. So if you get something in the gray area, half the time it's going to be right, half the time it's going to be wrong, and you're going to piss off people one way or the other. So. You know, human nature, it happens. Mistakes happen. What are you going to do? Listen, it should not have been called the way it was called, clearly. It should not have ended the game. There's no other way around it. Like, that should not be disputable, even if you are the biggest diehard New York Met fan. But
what if you're a Marlins fan and you end up coming up a game short of making the playoffs?
Yep.
About that. Now, here's the thing. It didn't mean that they would have won the game because it would have still been tied. There would have been two outs with the bases loaded. And so... You know, it doesn't necessarily mean they would have won, but they would have had a chance to still win that game, and that was taken away from them. And so I still think there should be some system for the final play of the game just to make sure, because they really botched it up. And I don't know where the umpires' friends were in all of this, but you would have thought the other umpires might have been supportive of trying to help their buddy out behind the plate as this turned into a real debacle.
We're Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst. Quickly before we get you out of here, a couple of news items here with the Jays that have just broken in the last half an hour. Teoscar Hernandez has been placed on the injured list following exposure to a positive COVID case. So with close contact outside of the team. So he's out for an extended period of time. This is one that's crazy. This is one that we only have now. We didn't have back in the summer. Ryan Borucki has been placed on the IL due to side effects from his COVID-19 vaccination.
So side effects from the vaccination.
Jesus.
I hope he got the shot in his right arm. Like, if he got it in the left arm, you'd be like, Baraki, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, right.
You know, but and Chatwood is also on the IR with a right triceps inflammation. But on top of that, Alejandro Kirk will start behind the plate tonight. So maybe Jansen's being sent a message, Steve.
I think it's Andrew Heaney, left-hander on the mound, and Kirk can really punish some right and left-handed pitching. And so, and you want to work him in there too. So I think it'll be interesting to see what it looks like. And for Kirk, I think the more he works with the pitching staff, the better. And I think that he's really going to hit. And I just think that right now, and look, I like Danny Jansen, but I think he's had some opportunity. There's no denying he's had an opportunity. And at this point, I think you have to say that he's played more like a backup catcher. And if Kirk can hit and can catch well enough, I think he's going to get the playing time.
Yep, it's going to be a fun weekend. Enjoy it, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you.
There is Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst. So, again, a lot of movement in terms of what the Jays are dealing with right now. Baraki dealing with a vaccine reaction. And Teoscar Hernandez, contact tracing, he's going to be out for the foreseeable future anyway. We'll see. Maybe that means throughout the weekend, if not beyond. And Tyler Chatwood on the IL. So you're dealing with some injuries here. Kirk will go tonight. Again, some news in terms of the Leafs. They have acquired Riley Nash from Columbus in exchange for a 7th-round conditional pick. He is injured right now. He will be on the long-term IR. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks, but the expectation is he'll be back by the playoffs. So his cap hit is irrelevant. There is no cap issues come playoff time. So he's basically the Leafs Kucherov, basically the same player. Kucherov comes back for Tampa. Riley Nash for the Leafs. It's just a wash.
I got a horrible feeling, boys, that there's going to be a lot of things go down as quickly as soon as this show ends, as per usual. I think at this weekend it's same as last year, man.
Well, Saturday, Sunday, it's
going down.
It's going down because this is also – because remember I asked the LTIR situation. Like, this seems like a cap move as well. Like, Brandon Pridham is a smart guy. They have to use up a certain amount probably for the rest of the – like, I think there's something else. I'm sure they like the player, but even reading Pierre LeBrun's Twitter, like, I think there's – there's something where they've got to max out so that they can maybe have some money to spend somewhere else. So, you know, if they're coveting another player, you've got some extra money. Like, I think this
they
is
know what
a,
they're doing.
A precursor, put it that way.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, will join us. We'll get his take on just Riley Nash, the player, though. If he does become available and does play, what are the Leafs getting here? And look ahead to the weekend with the Leafs at home against Ottawa tomorrow night. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so the Leafs have made a move this hour. They've acquired Riley Nash from the Columbus Blue Jackets for a conditional 7th-round pick, and he is currently dealing with a knee injury. He's going to be on the long-term IR. His cap hit, I believe, is 2.75, so he's not likely to come off it before the playoffs. This is simply a depth piece for the playoffs if he is back at 100%, which you presume he will be based on the timeline. And then his cap becomes irrelevant, more or less, because once you get to the playoffs, the salary cap doesn't matter, doesn't count. So the Leafs have added a piece who's, you know, a veteran guy, 31 years old. He's a fourth liner, generally speaking. Maybe he can give you a little bit of third line, but mostly going to be a fourth line centerman who can take some draws, kill some penalties, and just a classical depth piece, and didn't pay anything for it. So
from that standpoint,
he's a bit piece. Yeah, bit piece.
Yeah.
And I like it. I don't see much of a downside here in terms of making this move for Toronto. And if you're Columbus and you're out of it anyway, just get whatever you can, basically.
Well, I don't think there's any downside because even if he doesn't, you know, for some reason comes back and doesn't, you know, fit into your situation, it's just another player like that I think is an upgrade on potentially what you have. That's what I keep looking at. Like, if he's available, great. You know, if your team's rolling and you need him or you don't need him, fine. But if you can add him in or there's injuries or something like that, to me it's just an insurance play, if you ask me.
Well, and just looking through some reviews, our buddy Mike Kelly, Myrtle, quote tweeting some stuff, like basically Riley Nash as a quote-unquote shutdown fourth line center He's pretty good at that. Like, that's who he is. That's what he is. And that's kind of what you'd be looking for anyway. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Bit of a strange move here because Nash is going to arrive and immediately go on long-term IR, but the belief is Riley Nash will be available come playoff time. If he plugs in, what do you make of him as a player, and what do you make of this move for Toronto?
Well, I think really don't brush past the LTIR. That gives them more cap space between now and the end of the season. That's really as, I think, as significant as anything else. As far as being a depth piece, sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do they need a fourth line center? Probably not. But the cap space is super important.
The fourth line center is a beard, Ray, for the cap space?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. I look at this and I think, well, now they've just scraped out whatever his portion of the salary is that, you know, that goes into the long-term injury reserve. Now they put that on the reserve like Tampa Bay has done all season with Kucherov. It gives you that space over the cap, but you can't use that player. Now, if he were to come back and they'd have to put him on the roster, then they'd have to clear that space to make him fit. But his injury target line, I think, is just after – it's 4 to 6 weeks, I think, right?
Yeah, 4 to 6. He was
so I don't think it even matters.
Like no, if, exactly. Right. It's cap hit.
So,
yeah.
So it's cap space. So it's now we got a day and a half to the deadline or whatever the heck it is, 2 days to the deadline. Now they got more money to play with.
That can be beneficial, absolutely. And you got to believe that they've got their eye on something here, but – I'm intrigued by Nash.
Don't you think for sure they do?
Yeah.
I mean, the Nylander absence is an illustration of why they need another forward. If you think you've got a really good team, which they do, or a really good chance, which they do, you see how one injury all of a sudden now you're looking at Mikheyev and Barabanov as your answer, and then you're not a long-term team. Like, I think they have to at least explore somebody of significance, and this gives them a little more room to do so.
Yep, opens the door.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that, but all I can think of is, you know, who? You know, Taylor Hall, is it Mike Hoffman? Is it, you know, is it that type, or is it, you know, somebody a little heavier out of Columbus, like a Foligno or a Boone Jenner, if you pay a little bit more?
Yeah,
like, that's
maybe.
All I can
or
think
what if
of.
It's a, what if it's a guy like, what if they get into something like Raquel?
Right.
Out of Anaheim.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I think there's lots of things we probably don't see. And I would say one thing about Dubas that I kind of have in the back of my mind is it's not always the obvious with him.
I like
right?
that.
Like he's, yeah, I do too. I'm just like they think different. They approach things different. We'll see if it all works. But right now, I mean, a lot of what they said was going to happen has happened.
Well,
they said they were going to build a skill-based team. They've done that. They said they were going to get better and they were going to be better defensively because of the way Keith can coach and the way that they can move. And I think they're a half a goal better this year in goals against. And they've done it with three goalies. They, you know, like it's been what they said it was going to be.
I'm just looking at this because we mentioned Boone Jenner, who again I don't know if he's a fit because he's got another year left on his deal.
I like him. He's a player that I.
But here's the thing: he's got a broken finger. He's on the exact same timeline. He's out until the playoffs. So, if maybe you get sneaky here and you pull two of these rabbits out of a hat and say we'll pay a price for Boone Jenner, and it doesn't even count against your cap until the playoffs. Like, is this the precursor of the exact same move but a different player?
Well, Raquel, as Ray's speaking, Raquel's on LTIR right now, I believe.
Is he on
too?
It too?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
league on it?
The whole league is.
But think about it. There have been so many injuries. It's just I know we're focused of north of the border, and it's Gallagher kind of thing up here. But
yeah.
Ultimately, down south, there's been some injuries kicking. That Ekblad injury is massive. Like, you have to think – you know, Florida might be in the business, Boston. Like, there's going to be a lot of teams. Like, it's not just Kyle that is in competition. You know, I would think that Cheval Dayoff is going to be trying to be very proactive. What's Ken Holland going to try and do? You know, is Bergie, who keeps telling everyone, no, I'm not doing anything, is he going to do something? Like, that's the crazy part. I think there's going to be a lot of moving parts here. I think maybe
well,
that's
I think we hope
thinking,
so.
Though, guys.
We yeah. hope so, for sure. But the thing, I don't know what Raquel has on his deal.
1 year at 365, I think.
After this? Yeah,
yeah,
and Jenner's got 1 year at 3.75. So let's say they're both, like Riley Nash, going to be on the long-term IR until the playoffs, but you're paying for an extra year. So it would cost a lot more for those two guys.
Right, and the other thing to remember, too, is, you know, to not be overlooked with this is, so we say, yeah, you just stash them there till the playoffs, and then they start playing, but then they haven't played in 6 weeks.
Yep.
And by the time they get rolling, maybe you're out.
Which right? is a like gamble. That, yep.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's in the poker game, I guess, for sure. I mean, Foligno makes a lot of sense, like, for a lot of teams. He's a good player. He's still got juice to him. I know he's 35 or maybe 36, but, man, he can play in a bunch of different spots for you, and you're never going to have to worry whether he's going to show up at playoff time.
Yep.
I think he's got game left.
I agree. He'd be perfect. He'd be perfect in a lot of different spots, and if he's available, and I don't see why he wouldn't be. Columbus has just fallen off. Zach Werenski's now done for the year. Boone Jenner, Patrick Laine is just—he happens to be in the lineup, but really is bringing nothing to the table. And they're losing a lot of games, and it feels kind of like a death march for John Tortorella or close to it. Columbus is in a bad spot, and Nashville's blowing past them. Chicago's up there, so I got to believe Columbus is looking to sell a little bit more. And that's just one team. It's about acknowledging and finding the sellers, right? And then
right.
every buyer is just going to be lurking like a vulture, trying to get in there and get whatever they can for the cheapest price possible. That's the game. That's poker right now.
Yeah. Well, I read a quote a little bit ago. I guess Ken Holland did some media, and he said, "What you're doing at the deadline is you're playing poker.
Mm-hmm.
You're just playing poker. You're." Trying to misdirect, try to add, try not to spend as much as the other guy wants you to spend, and you're still trying to make your team better. And, you know, can you lure somebody in to give you something that you can afford is the whole game. I mean, you can always make the deal. It's just whether you want to, you know, blow your brains out while you're doing it. Are you good enough to spend that price? And that's another thing that they all have to figure on.
Ray, we were talking about the Pearson signing out in Vancouver, followed up by how are they going to handle the Pettersson and Hughes contracts. Like, how's our boy Jimmy Benning going to handle all this out there, first on the Pearson signing?
Well, I don't get it. I mean, Tanner Pearson's an NHL player. He's a legit guy. Did you need to sign him for 3 years and 3.75 or 3.25 million, I think is the number. Did you really need to do that? Because right now they're going to have roughly about $17 million in cap space and left. And they have to sign Pettersson, sign Hughes, determine whether they're going to bridge them or sign them long term. If they sign them long term, well, that's going to blow through all of that, or pretty much all of that cap money. You still need to put a team together. They don't have, you know, Benning said yesterday, or maybe it was this morning, I don't foresee any cap problems. He must have a different calculator than most people are looking at.
I love that. Don't foresee it. It's only my cap, but I don't.
And they're getting Stamkos and Subban.
Yeah.
And so,
actually,
so just think of this, though, guys. So Sven Berchi, he signed to a 3-year deal at about $3.5 million. You've barely seen him. He signed Sam Gagner to 3 years at $3 million. And then decided they didn't need him either. Louis Erickson, 6 years and $36 million. Beagle and Roussel were 3 years and $12 million. This is all money sitting like a bad meal in your gut on their cap. It's all on their tenure. And then he comes out 2 weeks ago, and I don't know, maybe I'm critical all the time of this, but I live here. I see it every day. And he says, we need 2 more years. You've already had 7. that's like being, you know, you're in the league for 7 years, you score four goals a year, and you go and you tell the GM, you give me two more years and I'll get you 20.
Or six.
Like, eventually, does there not have to be like, hey, wait a minute, we're spending tens of millions of dollars here. For what? And that doesn't count Tyler Myers' deal, who's had a pretty good year, but they, you know, they free agent spent on him. That's a lot. Brandon Sutter's a serviceable player. He went most of this year without an assist, which isn't a problem, except he's a centerman.
Yeah, right. And that's part of the job.
I don't think the people out here quite realize the straits that they're in. I don't think they quite get it. Because
Ray,
Travis has done a hell of a job with a team that's undermanned, making them as competitive as they've been over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Ray, we were talking about Pettersson in particular last hour, and I was trying to be, I just think about what he is as a player and what his contract would look like, because you know, he's got 66 points 2 years in a row. Now, Hayes pointed out those are prorated because of 71 games and 68 games. But what do you see him as when he reaches his peak as a player? Because he's 22 and he's still got a long road. But I don't see him as a Marner. I don't see him as a superstar. I think he's just a great player. I don't see him as an elite player. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm trying to figure out, because he's a guy that I really struggle to assess as a player.
I was pretty disappointed in how he was able to play this year. Now, he had, I don't know the number, I knew it when the Canucks were playing, but he's hit 7 or 9 goal posts this year or something crazy like that. So his number could easily, in a good year, would look a lot different. I think he should be more than 70 points a season, but I don't think he's 95 points a season.
Right.
Certainly not with the roster that, you know, of guys around him. So I think he's a number one center, but I don't think he's he's not an Austin Matthews. He's not a Connor McDavid. He's not a Mark Scheifele, in my opinion, although he may end up in the same point range as Scheifele does in some years. I think he's a really good player. I don't have him in that upper echelon of guys that I probably did earlier in, or, you know, like in last summer or whenever, after last year or whatever, I probably had him there in my mind. I don't right now.
I was comparing him, not the same type of player, but I was looking at like the Barzal deal, like a bridge at 3 year at 7, something like that, because we were trying to figure out, like, I don't think he's a double-digit player right now.
$10 million?
Yeah, no.
No.
That's what
I mean, like, for me. Like,
right.
If I'm signing the check, no chance. Here's the cool little hook to this, is both Pettersson and Hughes are represented by J.P. Barrie. So you negotiate with one, you're really kind of negotiating with two. I mean, not that one, I'm not signing because you can't sign this guy, but I don't think it gets easier because Barry's sitting in the middle of both of them.
Yeah, I mean, we were discussing that earlier in terms of what you're asking for, what you're looking for. I have a similar mindset of as you do based on how bad this season has gone for him. I mean, I think everyone can concede, Pettersson included, this is a complete write-off of a year. Like, he's barely played, and when he did, he really didn't play that well based on his standards.
Now, do you mean the team or him?
I'm talking Pettersson. Pettersson is a complete write-off. Clearly, for the team, too. I mean, he's a microcosm of the team, but him alone on a platform year, this is the worst year of his career. So that might affect the negotiations, and it certainly will from Vancouver. I'm sure if you're betting, you're like, listen, I'm paying you based on what you did this year too. But the game has changed.
You know what, Brian? I would say this. I don't know how you guys were, Jamie and O, but when I was in the last year of my contract, I didn't like it. I felt like everything was, I didn't score for three games, and I'm like, oh, I'm never going to get paid. Like, I would panic. Maybe he's like that. I don't know. Some guys have those career years. I tended to have mine right after I signed, like an idiot. I had just signed, and then I'd have this 40 goals. Yeah, great. You just signed for 3 years, you dumb. Happened twice.
Yeah, right after you signed. Mr. Security. Man, you're a great player when you got that security.
Yeah, that was real bright. I don't know how you guys were, but maybe that's something that has, you know, got into his head early, because he started poorly. He started really poorly, and then it kind of got, he was stuck for a long time.
Yeah, it got ugly. Yep, for sure. Someone was snapping videos of some guy playing golf in Southern Ontario earlier today in Opal.
What was that? Was that one of those bears from the circus?
Yeah,
it was some kind
was.
Of it was some kind of jabroni that crawled over the fence and got on the golf course. I don't know if you saw that swing, Ray, but that has major issues. Can you comment on what you saw? Because I know your tweet said, "What is that?"
Yeah.
Well, so what I saw from a non-professional standpoint was no turn, no balance, spread way too far. If a pro ever looked at that, they would run. I can't fix that.
It was awful.
What about the Arnie Palmer finish and the little head bob juke and jive?
Yeah.
Missing the dart and the shot of whiskey right after from that Arnie would have tucked up under there. I don't know. I honestly, like, where did the ball go?
Not that far. Not that far.
I mean, I would have guessed that, but like, did it go way right?
No, it stayed on the fairway. What I was telling these donkeys earlier, and I guess I'll include you in that, is that deceptively hilly. It was a very significant slope, and I had spikeless shoes on. I'm holding on for dear life. I was like 275 out, 250 out on a par five. I should have hit a 3-wood out of there, but I grabbed like a 7-iron and just said, I got to get it alive. It was course management. It was brilliant. And I put it right in the middle of the fairway, threw a dart, and two-putted for six.
That follow-through screams,
well,
I cannot turn it over.
Two-putted, maybe I two-putted for five. I don't remember. Five or six.
You said six. So out of all that brilliance of yours, you made bogey anyway?
Yeah, I did, actually. That's true. Yeah, it was bogey on 10.
The only thing missing was you pulling a Kim and breaking your putter on the green.
I know. Well, it wouldn't have been any worse, believe me. If I putted with a 7-iron all day, it couldn't have been worse than the way I was putting. Awful. But Siwoo Kim didn't give any strokes back.
The other thing I was going to say, because I know Noodles, you weren't there, right?
No, I wasn't.
So, was he wearing sweatpants? Like, what was he wearing?
No, his gear is dialed in.
Thank you.
Really? You couldn't tell in the video. So at least he looked good while, like, a rusty gate swinging that club.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I've watched this swing. It's an awful swing. Like, it is really one of the worst swings ever recorded.
Yeah.
But
it's
gear,
Arnold Palmer with two separated shoulders.
Yeah,
it really is.
And about 15 spiked Arnie Palmers, too. That's what it looks like. It looks like I'm on the back end of a boys' trip where I've been drinking 45 beers a day.
Sparkling.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to get home.
That is right from the, like, checking out at the bar and going right to the first tee, and that's your first swing.
That's
so what hole, like, were you, was that, like, into the round somewhere?
That was on 10. I was halfway off.
Oh, so you were loosened up by this
time. Oh, I felt great. Yeah, I felt great. I really
was.
I didn't see it when you were tight.
No, that's the worst part. Mentally, I felt good about my game. Physically, I was in beautiful shape, and that's how I was swinging it. But we'll leave it there. There'll be more content in the future, believe me. Every time I play with a grappler, this guy turns into Stanley Kubrick. He's taking shots.
Well, I was
going to
say,
angles.
That was some good video shot without knowing it was being shot. That's
right.
The best part.
That's the best part, exactly. Anyway, enjoy the Masters, buddy. It's going to be a fun weekend. We'll do it Monday at 5.
Yep, perfect. Have a great weekend, guys. Be safe.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days and the Maple Toyota Corolla-thon are back with rates from 0%. Shop in person by appointment or online at mapletoyota.com. We'll tee up a busy weekend next. So next week is going to be a big, big week on Monday. It's trade deadline day, Trade Center all day on TSN and on TSN 1050. And on Tuesday is the 10th anniversary of TSN 1050. It's amazing. We've been around for 10 years. Doing our thing, and we are giving away cash right here on Overdrive. You can nominate that special 40-30 tight tuck grit grinder in your life. Post your photos on Twitter or on Instagram using the hashtag TSN105010years. Hashtag TSN105010years, and you can win $1,050. Details at TSN1050.ca. So we're giving away cash on Tuesday.
Love it.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. It's going to be a fun one on Monday and on Tuesday. And it's been a wild ride. This week's been fun. The Masters, the Leafs are in action tomorrow night. The Jays are playing. The Raptors are playing. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait for it. Good stuff, as always, boys. We are out of here. We are back Monday at?
Rory, that's my bush, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.